I had a friend who had a conversation with her dad one day, and she said to her dad, as he yelled and he yelled some more, she said, "I'm not deaf, I'm ignorant." He kind of looked at her and like he'd never really thought about it, figured the louder he yelled, the more she'd listen.
Wouldn't that be nice if there was a correlation between the level of our volume and the obedience of our children? You know what? I think there is, but it's in the opposite direction of what you think. The quiet words of the wise, according to Scripture, the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools, according to Solomon in Ecclesiastes. And that works for kids, I think, as well. We're continuing this discussion from our Parent Talk Center here at Intentional Living Center. On parenting, yesterday and today, so many great calls. We got more to get to, those who've left stories. We got a Mark Lowry fun coming up a little bit later in the show. But this is all for parents, about parents, young ones, little ones. You could have teenagers or adult children. How to be intentional. We begin with the question, are you experiencing your parenting life, your parenting relationships, the way God intended? And if you're not, you can. God is for you and for your marriage and for your parenting. If you're a single parent or if you're married, God is for you. He loves you. And I would ask the question, what do you want different? What do you want better in parenting that's not working now? You can move in that direction. It can happen. I've seen it. And we want to help you today. Got some great calls we'll get to in a moment. Again, you can leave your story at 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's get started with Sarah. Appreciate your call, Sarah. You've been thinking about it. What's your one thing for parenting?
I would say that one of the best things that I was told and I did was to let my child know when they did something unfavorable or that I was upset with. I always let them know first and foremost that I loved them, but I wasn't happy with their decision, their behavior, or their actions. And then that would open up to lead to other discussions about what they did and why.
Yeah, you're separating their behavior from who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy as a parent sometimes to let, you know, get that blurred line.
Correct.
Because it becomes a reflection on us.
Correct. And then they start believing that their actions or their behaviors are who they are.
Yeah, that's right. And in the eyes of people, that tends to be true. You know, we are judged more by our behavior by other people. Things we say, our attitude, our relationships, and so on. That's a big deal. All right, Brandon's on the line in Michigan. Hi, Brandon. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. Appreciate your call. What do you want to contribute here on parenting today?
Well, I've talked to you in the past, Dr. Andy, and I was dealing. We were on the discussion of marriage at that point, and I followed, you know, a lot of the stuff that you say, and staying focused on God is one of the best things that we could do. I lost a son back in February of 23, and then gained my other son full time in at Christmas time of last year. And being in the state of Michigan, it's not likely for a judge to look at a father to place a child with a father. In Michigan, it's more for mothers. But God kept me focused and helped me get through a court case that most referees won't listen to here in Michigan as fathers, but he opened the door with me staying focused and he gave me my son full time.
Mm.
I know it was nothing that I did. And to see what God can do, it's amazing.
And now you got that responsibility, don't you? So now you have to be really staying focused to do it God's way, don't
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It helps that our church family is safe behind us, and I can go to my pastor and talk to him, or I can call in and talk to you guys, and you guys help us through it. You guys have a wonderful ministry, and we really appreciate you guys.
Well, we're glad to be here, Brandon. I tell you what, the radio station, we're really very unique in what we do. Our objective is, our ministry is Intentional Life Media. That's our overarching name of our ministry. But we have Family Life Radio, which you're listening to in Michigan. And our goal is very simple. We want you to experience your life the way God intended. And that's why we bring the music that we do to affirm faith and to provide and offer, inspire hope in our lives. And then we believe, we go to the next step to say, hey, now let's actually equipped to live. I mean, you're a single mom, you're a single dad, you're a parent, you're dealing with finances and work. God speaks to these things. And the verse that we hang over our heads and instill into our hearts every day, it really comes from the book of Ephesians, where Paul is saying to us, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. But this is the same guy. I mean, Paul's the same guy who told us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And you think of these two. So on one hand, he's saying we're saved by faith, and over here he's saying figure out what pleases Christ and do it. Listen, let me be clear. When we talk about intentional living on our ministry, we're not talking about being intentional so you get saved. You don't take an intentional living card up to God and say, hey, look how intentional I was. Because he could say, hey, I never knew you, depart from me someday. We are saved fully 100% by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But does it make any sense, or is it really a saving faith that wouldn't result in some change in how we choose to live? And I think we can get that backwards sometimes. We try to change how we live, so we think God will love us more, and that's not the way it works. So that's what, when we focus on these things on parenting, like what do you want different and what needs to be decluttered from your life, we want this for your good. We want you to figure out what God's intention is in these areas and live it. As you do, your faith is going to grow. You're going to do better. God's going to get the glory, and it's win-win all the way around. That's the way I look at it. All right. Thank you, Brandon. Stay focused, my friend. You got a big responsibility now. We pray that you'll find real success in all that. All right. Let me go to Kathy, who's in Kansas. Hi, Kathy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. It looks like maybe you're coming at this from a little different. You're the daughter in this story, huh?
Yes, I'm the daughter in this story.
All right, good. What's going on? Oops, sorry, I bumped my mic. What's going on?
No, that's okay. So, I'm, like, my mom, it just, like, last night, she called and just went off on me, you know, and I just had to remove myself from the family, and she's like, why'd you do that? And I'm like, I just cannot be a part of all of this. Like, my kids have seen how she's treated all the other grandkids. I see how she treats all the other kids. And I heard you talk the other day about, once you start talking about your siblings, of other siblings, you have a lot of backtracking. You'll have to do it, and you may never make it up. What'd she do? She talks about all of us kids. And I just can't take the drama. So last night, she's like, you're not a Christian woman because you got a divorce. You are not following the commandments because you don't love thy mother and father. I do love my mother and father. But I love them at a distance because I can't take it. The chastising, the being put like a third-class citizen, I just can't do it.
Now, how do your other siblings fare all of this?
Four of them are, like, they get along great. One of them has removed himself from it for the very same reason.
Why is your mom? Why do you think your mom is doing this? What is the payoff for your mom to come after you like that? Do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. She just laid into me last night. I can't. You know, I don't know because.
Well, since she's not here, let me ask you. How do you think you push her buttons?
Well, I mean, I'm not. So I used to call her. But when I call her, it's like talking to a dead fish. It's that terminology. Like, I can tell when she doesn't want to talk to me, if that makes sense.
Let me ask you this, Kathy. How do you feel just sharing this right now? What's going on? How do you feel?
I'm pretty sad. It kills me.
Uh-huh. Because you want this relationship and it's not there. Have you ever said that to your mom? Have you ever said, Mom, I am so sad that you and I we just don't have a relationship. That makes me very sad.
No. But, you know, I'm the bad one for getting a divorce, but my sister got a divorce, but she's not a bad one.
Are you feeling guilty?
No, I'm not feeling guilty.
Just feeling sad.
Yeah. Because I know I'm a Christian, you know. And she says, you're the most unhappy person I've ever seen. And I'm like, I find that hard to believe because everybody tells me I'm the most joyful person. She's like, are you lying to me? Are you calling me a liar? And I'm like, no.
You seem sad, but you also seem you also seem pretty angry to me.
Well, I am kind of angry because of the way, you know, she came at me last night.
Yeah. Are you guys connecting when it comes to Thanksgiving?
No.
How's that feel?
Because I have a boyfriend. His daughter, we're having a baby shower for her. So that's another contingency because I planned a baby shower months ago. And she told me last night I planned it last minute around the Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You don't plan something, a baby shower, on a whim.
What would you like to be, what would you want different in your life right now?
You know, I just want to be treated with respect and all of us kids to be treated equally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I told her. I would like to be treated and respected like the rest of the kids and treat us the same and not have favorites. We are all your kids.
Well, we can't control mom, obviously. I mean, mom is right. Mom and she's going to do what she wants and how she behaves. Let me ask you, what's your relationship like with Christ? What is your... Say you're a Christian. Always what's strong. Your relationship like?
That's my life saver. Mm. I'm where I am because of him.
Yeah. Well, let me encourage you. I mean, if mom were on here, just so you know, if mom were on here, I would talk to mom, but she's not. So she's probably not listening. So it's not going to be effective. I would encourage you, Kathy, because I'll tell you what, Satan loves to camp in these divisions within a family. And when the Bible talks about to the extent possible that lies within me to live at unity and at peace with everyone, I mean, that's exactly what the Bible's telling us. It puts a responsibility and onus on us to say, how can I live at peace with this person who I love, who is a difficult person, an emotionally maybe damaged person, emotionally weak person, but how do I love them? And I want to do two things. I want to just encourage you to really research that for yourself and really ask God to reveal to you, how can I love this mom that you've given me when I'm finding it difficult to love my mom? And secondly, I'm going to put you on hold. I want Stephen to send you a link, an access to the lesson that we've had for this month on how to love an emotionally weak person, timely, because that's exactly what it sounds like you're facing. And pray that you would get some encouragement from that. All right. Pray for Kathy. Pray for the healing and restoration of families. Life is so incredibly short.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
If you have a relationship with someone you love who's emotionally weak, focus on solutions and not problems. Very easy to focus on what's wrong. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with our finances? What's wrong with our parents? What's wrong with ourselves? One of the big issues that happens with parents is, and I've seen this, you get a permissive parent and then you get a very authoritarian parent. And it's like a teeter-totter. One will try to offset the other. And we see this in parenting. Where one parent saying, my husband is so authoritarian, so in the face of our kids, the other one will slide to the other extreme to be more permissive, thinking they're gonna balance it out, as opposed to sitting down and talking about not you're wrong, but talking about what kind of kids do we want to raise? How can we come to some agreement on one thing that we can agree to intentionally to help us in our parenting?
Yeah,
boy, I tell you, that's an excerpt, timely, on the call we just had from Kathy. on how to love an emotionally weak person in your life. And I was telling Jennifer, mentioned during the break, as a parent, why do we put obstacles in the path of keeping a relationship with a child that we think, and that for whatever reason, we think that they're a prodigal, we don't think they're living the way they should or whatever. It is really non-productive to continue to put more roadblocks in that relationship. Come on, parents. The daddy of the prodigal is a great story. We didn't see any evidence of that in the story. Just a daddy who loved his kids and looked out the door and was there for them when they got to a place where they wanted to talk, wanted to do something different. All right, we're talking today about how to be an intentional parent, asking the question, what do you want different? What do you want better in your life, in your relationship, in your family? All right, Ann, let's go to you. You're next in Arizona. What have you learned?
I have learned, my daughter's 34 now, and most of those years were, I was a single mom. Mm. But the point is, I learned afterwards, and now watching my nieces and other parents do the same mistakes I did, which consistency and follow through mm-hmm. are the most important things.
Yep.
As far as discipline or, you know, threatening, I'm going to pull the car over or, you know, behave this way and this is going to happen. Well, you have to follow through with that.
Reminds me of a story. I was on an airplane one time and a mom was sitting right behind me and, you know, the little kid kicking the seat and crying and all the stuff.
Yes.
And the mom was obviously young mom over, just frustrated. And she said, listen, I'm telling right. you, Johnny, if you don't stop, I'm going up. I'm going to have this pilot turn this plane around and we're going back home. I said, no, we're not. No, we're not. Yeah. So sometimes we get, you're grounded for life. You know, mm-hmm. you're not grounded for life. So, yeah, that's right. good. Being consistent. Did you wrestle with that when they were younger?
Oh, yes, very much. You know, and being single and her dad was in her life, but not on the same page as I was. And so that's always difficult. But it's still one consistent parent that she can count on or he can yeah. count on. And they want that.
Mm, that's right. They've got to have someone in their life who's there, who's consistent, who's loving, who's going to support them, you know, every step of the way. Very powerful. All right. What have you learned, Dwayne, there in Kansas?
One thing I learned when I was younger is to allow them to just be kids, you know, not be so stern with them all the time. They make mistakes and don't blow up. I mean, just let them be children.
Yeah. Was that difficult for you as you look back? I mean, did
it
you?
It was when I was younger. I was very much a disciplinarian and everything. And my older brother told me one time, you know, you need to chill out. You know, they're going to make mistakes. You know, yeah. no reason to get all over and make them sit in the corner and everything after every little tiny thing.
Yeah.
You know, I was very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother told me that. And I had a lot better relationship with my kids and my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think if you hear those of us who've been down the trail a little bit, raised kids, got grandkids now, you'll hear that theme of, I wish I were a little lighter. I wish I'd backed off on some things. But we tell parents, pick your battles carefully as a parent. Let's just get down to what it means to be an intentional parent. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. It tells us in the Old Testament that we're to train them from the morning till night. We're to instruct them as we walk together. Have you ever noticed that you can do the best instructing with your kids driving down the road in your car? Because you're not looking eye to eye, but you're together and it's kind of just the two of you and you can talk about life. This is the intention. It's kids will catch more of how we live than what we say. And so being intentional in the process, training, instructing, holding them accountable, disciplining, which comes from the idea of discipleship or training more than punishment. Yelling is ineffective. Following through, being on the same page, if you're married, I know that's not always possible, and if you're divorced, that's can complicate it. That's why the message is be the best parent you can be. If you're blending a family, get on the same page. These things are pretty basic things. I mean, I think we intuitively understand what it takes. Two people in agreement. And when we're in agreement as parents, boy, there's a lot of things that can happen in a positive way with our kids. And I tell parents, if you're going to make a mistake, Maybe you compromise, but if you're doing it together, that's better than doing it in different ways. All right? I think it helps the kids to feel more secure. All right, Daryl, you're next. Sounds like you're a single parent. What's going on?
I'm a half-time, full-time dad, if that makes sense.
So you get the kids part of the time?
I get the kids every other week, yes.
All right, and how old are the kids?
8 and 10.
And so what's that number one desire in your heart right now?
I want my kids to know that no matter how bad your past is, that there's forgiveness and redemption in Christ, and that he can take you from where you used to be to where he needs you to be, no questions.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be able to see that a failure does not define you, and that when you become a Christian and you repent of those sins, that God will take you to a new place.
Mm. Now, are you trying to communicate that from your own experience, what you've been through, or for them to experience it?
From where I've been, I mean, the kids obviously had front row seats to the destruction of my marriage, and they've lived through all of that. And so for them to be able to see where mommy and daddy were to where we are now, even though we're still divorced, but I want them to ascribe it all to Christ just like I do.
So let me ask you, what are two things you're doing that seem to be working?
Regular attendance in church, where every time the doors are open, we're there, regardless of whether there's a sporting event or a school event or anything else. I want them to see that that's the most important thing. And number two is daily devotionals and prayer time with my kids.
So how do you love someone who's an emotionally weak person? I'm not talking about the normal emotions that we have. I have emotional weakness, but when it becomes a pervasive problem to the point where you can't relate well with a person, you can't communicate, you can't get along, it creates a problem, right? Where does our emotional weaknesses come from?
In his message, How to Love the Emotionally Weak, Dr. Randy explains how you can respond in a way that's healthy for both you and the other person. And if you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And boy, do we appreciate your support. Thank you for doing that. As Kurt reminds us, go to theintentionallife.com. Hey, we're getting close to the end of the hour here. I just want to encourage you that you're not alone if you struggle. Our comedian friend Mark Lowry takes us into his home, a little glimpse of how he was raised.
And Mama is the opposite of my dad. Where dad is calm, cool, and collected, Mama can't spell calm, cool, and collected. Mama is a screamer. Do you know what a screamer is? Kids, don't point. Someone you don't pay any attention to. Until she hits a certain pitch. And you know she's hit that certain pitch when garage doors fly open all over the neighborhood. She used to look at me and say, Mark! You just wait till your dad comes home. My dad always came home. He'd walk through the door from work. First thing he'd hear is my mother. Charles, you gotta talk to Mark. My dad would go.
Dad got off the hook on that one, didn't he? All right, just a little humor to remind us that this thing of parenting takes us into places in our mind and our attitudes we didn't even know existed. I think parenting brings out the best and worst in all of us, right? Because we're trying to raise another little person here, and they can make it pretty difficult at times. But we love you, and we want the best for you. That's why Intentional Living exists. We have one purpose, and that is to help you figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. And that's intentional living, and certainly parenting is a part of that.
Hi, this is Nina. I'm from Texas, and this is for the young mother who is divorced and trying to raise her son alone where daddy has him on the weekend. I know she misses him going to church with her, but she could try reading a Bible story and always saying a prayer with her son every night.
And also remember, with divorced couples, never ever put down or degrade your ex-partner, no matter what or how you feel, because that only makes you look bad, not them. But do try reading your Bible story, always telling your son how much God loves him as a person and loves you. Best of luck in everything. Thank you.
You guys share so much wisdom. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. If you have questions for us here at the center, having to do with your marriage, your family, or other relationships, you can share those at 888-888-1717. Let me close with this. I open the show today by asking the question, are you experiencing your parenting life as God intended? Let me even make it more personal. Are you experiencing your life as God intended? Because the reality is, if you're experiencing your life the way God intended, all these other things, relationships, marriage, parenting, finance, so on, kind of fall into order, don't they? That's a key. So I ask the question, just you personally, just you and me, if you're not experiencing life the way God intended today, you can. You can. It can start today. The question is, what do you want different in your life? What do you want better? Be specific. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a relationship that needs to be fixed or a behavior that needs to be dealt with, which raises the question, what needs to be decluttered from your life? What is it in your life today that's cluttering the path to the healing and hope that you want? Is it unforgiveness? Is it anger, regret? And what one thing could you do for the next 30 days as we think about parenting that would make the single biggest difference? Take it on as a challenge. Between now and, let's say, Christmas time, what one thing could you do that would make the single biggest difference in your personal life? But here's the ultimate question. Where does the power come from to do all these things? And it comes from Jesus Christ. And I ask the question, do you know him personally? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you gotten to the point of saying, Father, I'm done doing it my own way. It just isn't working. And I give my life to you today. It's as simple as that. But you know what? The profound part of it is then, what do you do next? Is then to start following him every day, to get plugged into a Bible-believing teaching church, get into fellowship, start moving in directions to figure out what pleases him every day. Your life will radically change. That's why we do what we do 24 hours a day with the radio network, because we believe as you listen to the music of hope and help, experience hope, it's going to affirm your faith, and you're going to be drawn to live more intentionally in him. And that's why we're here. Thanks for your prayers and for your support. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. We'll see you next time from our Intentional Living Center.